Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that will be listening on the phone, on the radio, and later on the recording, Sabbath blessing to all of you on this December 17, 2016. This is lesson 209, chapter 45, entitled The Foreshadowing of the Cross. Our opening scripture song is taken from the book of Psalms 34, 11, 13 through 14. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Keep thy tongue from me, evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from me, evil, and do good. Keep thy tongue from me, evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Seek peace and pursue it. Psalms 34:11, 13, and 14. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Seek peace and pursue it. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I will teach you the fear of the Lord.
If we could all kneel and bow our heads and our hearts. Our Father, we thank you for this feeling to have this special day. We thank you for this feeling to wake up to this morning. We thank you for this feeling to have in the very blessed day. Forgive us all for our sins and iniquities, now cross our spirits. Forgive us all for food and meat, and long we set with us in the morning. Let us be able to remember that you are with us throughout the times of trouble. Let us be able to keep on spreading your word to the holy person who needs to know and understand it. I pray that you may be able to help us begin to those troubles. Let us be able to be kind, considerate, obedient, and selfish and noble in all of our hearts. Let us be able to keep on showing mercy, compassion to any person who needs it. Let us be able to be faithful to you for all days of our lives. Let us keep on walking clean with you and keep on spreading the word about all the countries beyond us.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And our dear brother Dick shared in the room, the fear of the Lord does not mean to be afraid, but to respect. I will add also to honor God and be obedient. And let us continue. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. Our opening scripture for our study today is taken from the book of Psalms, verses 7 and 8 from the King James Version, and it reads, Then say I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. This Sabbath, boys and girls, mommies and daddies, we will begin a new lesson entitled The Foreshadowing of the Cross of our storybook, Desire of Ages. If any one of the dear family would like to take the following verses, bubble up.
Mark 8:30, and he charged them that they should tell no man of him. Mark 8:31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of elder and of the chief priest and scribes of the, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again.
Matthew chapter 16 verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I am? Say that I, the Son of Man, am." Sorry, I have to scroll down. In Matthew 16:14, and they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Amen.
Matthew 16:15, he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Matthew 16:16, and Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God."
Amen. Praise the Lord. So today, dear ones, we will cover pages 410 through 411. Anyone of the dear family would like to take the first paragraph, bubble up. And those that would like to read, you could just bubble up right after the dear sister.
The work of Christ on earth has hastening to a close before him in vivid outline. Lay the scenes whither his feet were tending even before he took humanity upon him. He saw the whole legend of the
length
of the path he must travel in order to save that which was lost. Every pang that rent his heart,
every woman
pang
where
that rent his heart, every insult that was heaped upon his head, every privation that he was called to endure was open to his view before he laid aside his crown and royal robe.
Desire of Ages, page 410, continuing, and set down from the throne to clothe his divinity with humanity. The path from the manger to Calvary was all before his eyes. He knew the anguish that would come upon him. He knew it all, and yet he said, "Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." Psalm 47:8. Desire of Ages, page 410. Paragraph
1. Amen. Praise the Lord. Christina, sometimes the connection may be slow and it would be delayed. Okay? Question, everyone. What was open to Christ's view before he laid aside his crown and royal robe and stepped down from the throne to clothe his divinity with humanity? And what did he say, knowing all the anguish that will come upon him? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, bubble up.
Privation that he was called to endure, and he said, "Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yet thy law is within my heart."
Amen. Good job. So let's learn our first scripture song together, dear ones. And this one is taken from the book of Psalms, chapter 40, verse 8. And it has a margin with a song included. I delight to do thy will, O God. Thy law is within my heart. Many are the wonders thou hast done. There is none to compare with thee. Fill my heart with thy loving kindness. Breathe on me breath of the living God. How I long to see our love to praise thy holy name. How I love to see thy presence. How I love to praise thy holy name. Welcome to all of dear brethren that are joining us.
And continuing, ever before him he saw the results of his mission. His earthly life, so full of toil and self-sacrifice, was cheered by the prospect that he would not have all this travail for naught. By giving his life for the life of men, he would win back the world to its loyalty to God. Although the baptism of blood must first be received, although the sins of the world were to weigh upon the innocent soul, although the shadow of an unspeakable woe was upon him, yet for the joy that was set before him, he chose to endure the cross and despise the shame. Desire of Ages, page 410, paragraph 2. And on the slide it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Amen. And that's Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, I believe it was.
God bless you, everyone. Continuing the reading, Desire Ages, page 410. From the chosen companions of his ministry, it seems that lay before him were as yet hidden. But the time was near when they must behold his agony. They must see him whom they had love and trust to deliver into the hands of his enemy and hang upon the cross of Calvary. Soon he must leave them to face the world without comfort of his visible presence. He knew how bitter hate and unbelief would persecute them, and he desired to prepare them for their trial. Desire Ages, 4:10, paragraph 3. Amen.
Amen. Question, boys and girls, mommies and daddy. What was Jesus shared by from his earthly life, so full of toil and self-sacrifice? And how would he win back the world to his loyalty to God? And why did he choose to endure the cross, despising the shame? If you know the answer to the questions, dear one, blah,
the answer is by the prospect that he would not have all the travail for naught, and by giving his life for the life of men. And although the shadow of unspeakable woe was upon him, yet for the joy that he was set before him.
Amen. And continuing, Desire of Ages, page 411. Jesus and his disciples had now come into one of the towns about Caesarea Philippi. They were beyond the limits of Galilee, in a region where idolatry prevailed. Here the disciples were withdrawn from the controlling influence of Judaism and brought into closer contact with the heathen worship. Continuing on the next slide, please.
Question, boys and girls. What type of agony was the chosen companions to behold that lay before Christ's ministry? And why did he desire to prepare them for their trials? If you know the answer to the question, dear one, bubble up.
They must see him whom they had loved and trusted, delivered into the hands of his enemies, and hung upon the cross of Calvary. And soon he must leave them to face the world without the comfort of his visible presence. He knew how bitter hate and unbelief would persecute them.
Desire of Ages, page 411. Around them were represented forms of superstition that existed in all parts of the world. Jesus desired that a view of these things might lead them to feel the responsibility to the heathen. During his stay in this region, he endeavored to withdraw from teaching the people and to devote himself more fully to his disciples. Desire of Ages, page 411, paragraph 1.
Continue to read it. Desiree, page 11, 411. He was about to tell them of the suffering that awaited him. But first he went away alone and prayed that their heart might be prepared to receive his word. Upon joining them, he did not at once communicate that which he desired to impart. Before doing this, he gave them an opportunity of confessing their faith in him, that they might be strengthened for the coming trial. He asked, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Desiree, 411, paragraph 2. Amen.
Desire of Ages, page 411, and continuing. Sadly, the disciples were forced to acknowledge that Israel had failed to recognize their Messiah. Some indeed, when they saw his miracles, had declared him to be the Son of David. The multitudes that had been fed at Bethesda had desired to proclaim him King of Israel. Many were ready to accept him as a prophet, but they did not believe him to be the Messiah. Desire of Ages, page 411, paragraph 3.
Amen. Good job, everyone. Question, boys and girls. What things did the disciple encounter in a region about Caesarea Philippi when brought into closer contact with the heathen worship? And what did Jesus do during his stay in this region? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, bubble up.
The answer is idolatry prevailed around them were representative forms of superstition that existed in all parts of the world. And he endeavored to withdraw from teaching the people and to devote himself more fully to his disciples.
Jesus now put a second question relating to the disciples themselves. "But whom say you that I am?" Peter answered, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." From the first, Peter had believed Jesus to be the Messiah. Many others who had been convicted by the preaching of John the Baptist and had accepted Christ began to doubt as to John's mission when he was imprisoned and put to death. And they now doubted that Jesus was the Messiah for whom they had looked so long. Next slide, please.
We will continue after this question. Why did Jesus ask, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And what were the disciples sadly forced to acknowledge? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, bubble up.
The answer is he gave them an opportunity of confessing their faith in him that they might be strengthened for the coming trial, and that Israel had failed to recognize their Messiah. Some indeed, when they saw his miracles and declared him to be the Son of David.
Amen.
Desire of Ages, page 411. Many of the disciples who had ardently expected Jesus to take his place on David's throne left him when they perceived that he had no such intention. But Peter and his companions turned not from their allegiance. The vacillating course of those who praised yesterday and condemned today did not destroy the faith of the true follower of the Savior. Peter declared, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He waited in not for kingly honors to crown his Lord, but accepted him in his humiliation. Desire of Ages, page 411, paragraph 5.
Amen. Good job, everyone. Question, boys and girls. Who began to doubt as to John's mission when he was imprisoned and put to death? And who did not turn from their allegiance to Jesus, keeping their faith in what did he declare? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, bubble up.
The answer is many who had been convicted by the preacher of John the Baptist and accepted Christ, they now doubted that Jesus was the Messiah for whom they had looked so long. And the true follower of the Savior, Peter, and his companions, and Peter declared, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God."
Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's learn our last song, dear ones. And this one is taken from the Spirit of Prophecy book, Desire of Ages. And that can be found, dear ones, on page 668.
All true obedience comes from the heart. It was hard work with Christ, and if we consent, He will so identify Himself with our thoughts and days. So bend our hearts and minds into conformity to His will, that when obeying Him we shall be but carrying out our own impulses, the will refined and sanctified will find its highest delight in doing His service when we know God as it is. Our privilege to know Him, our life will be a life of continual obedience through an appreciation of the character of Christ. Through communion with God, sin will become hateful to us. Desire of Ages, page 668.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Good morning, boys and girls. It's story time, and we're going over here to the other screen. For December 17, 2016, Redemption Through the Riches of God's Grace. Remember again what grace is. It's something we don't deserve, but He gives us. Speaking of Jesus, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Remember what grace is? It's a gift we don't deserve. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Abounding toward us means He has given us wisdom. That's Ephesians 1, 6 and 7 and 8. He, Christ, came to elevate, to raise up, and ennoble our mental powers. That is to make us, make our thoughts like Jesus' thoughts, so that our efforts in this life might not be misdirected, that means led in the wrong way, and lost. The Lord Jesus came to strengthen every earnest seeker for truth. An earnest seeker is somebody who looks for it like he looks for air when he's underwater. He came to reveal the Father. He allowed nothing to divert His mind from the great work of restoring the moral image of God in man. Jesus didn't allow His mind or time to be occupied with politics or what we call social problems. He kept His mind and efforts on His task, that of revealing God's love to man. And we must see that the great and important work for us is to receive the divine likeness, to prepare a character for the future life. To receive the divine likeness means to become like Jesus. We must appropriate the heavenly truths to our special use in practical life. This means we need to learn to keep God's Ten Commandments in our daily life. How do you keep the Ten Commandments in your daily life? Well, you're honest, and you don't tell lies, and you don't steal, and you honor your mom and daddy. This is the way we do it. And we must carry with us all the treasure of knowledge that gives us a fitness for the life that measures with the life of God. If we want to live with God, we will learn all we can about Him. That knowledge is real treasure. The knowledge of God is as high as the heaven, as broad as the earth. See, he knows a lot. And someday when you learn about astronomy, you'll find there's a lot out there to learn. Only those who read the scriptures as the voice of God speaking to them are the true learners. If we learn and accept what the Bible says about God, we are good students in the school of Christ. They tremble at the word of God, for to them it is a living reality. The Bible is so real to them, it makes them shiver and shake. That's the best I can come up with that quickly for tremble. They study, they search for hidden treasure. Do you like to treasure hunt? The Bible is full of treasures. They open the understanding and heart to receive, and they pray for heavenly grace, that they may obtain a preparation for the future immortal life. Preparation means we are preparing. Are you preparing to live with Jesus? Only those who are preparing for his coming will he take to live with him. As the heavenly torch, that is the Bible, is placed in his hand, man, or boys and girls, see his own frailty. When we study the Bible, we see how weak we are. His infirmity, that is sickness. Our sickness is sin. His hopelessness in looking to himself for righteousness. We can't save ourselves. Only Jesus can save us. He sees that in himself there is nothing to recommend him to God. Goodness might recommend us to God, but we don't have goodness. We are sinners. He prays for the Holy Spirit, the representative of Christ, to be his constant guide, to lead him into all truth. A constant guide is someone who shows you your way all the time. All knowledge gained in this life of probation, and probation is the time we must decide to follow Jesus, which will fit us to be companions or friends of the saints in light. That's true education. And we get true education reading the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. It brings blessings to ourselves and others in this life and will secure or make sure to us the future immortal life. Did you ever hear somebody say, "Save me a place"? That is what secure means. With all its imperishable riches. You know that toys, books, clothes get old and wear out. They are perishable. But God's riches don't get old and wear out. Christ has a treasure house full of precious gifts for every soul. Sons and Daughters of God, page 125. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and truth. And to abound means he has given us wisdom. Ephesians 1, 7 to 8. Thank you for listening.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Brother Dick. And welcome to all the family that are joining us. We have come to the ending of our Children's Sabbath School lesson, so we will continue with part 2 in our chapter, in our study entitled The Foreshadowing of the Cross, part 2 will be next week of our lesson, Desire Ages. If any one of the little ones, mommies and daddies, would like to have closing prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, shall be thy hope, and then come our of being in earth either this in heaven. Give us this day a daily bread afford us a vegan partner. We lead us not into temptations to deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Next Sabbath, dear ones, we still will be reading from our chapter 45, The Shattering of the Cross, part 2, and that will be held December 24, 2016. We would like to thank all the precious family and all the little ones that participated in the reading. We also have prepared activity for the whole family to enjoy. We hope and pray that you will bless, and may you all have a wonderful rest of this Sabbath. God bless everyone.